and his blood began to drip onto the cold stone floor. His left hand hadn't been tethered, so that he could eat and drink from the bottles of water and bags of food that his captor brought down to him. He tried once more to pick at the metal tie on his right wrist with his left hand, but his nails broke, and he only drove the band further into his own skin until it became too painful, and he had to give up. He leaned his head back against the rough-hewn stone of the ancient cellar wall and cried. He thought of his mother, always his mother, and her disappointment. He could feel cold on the back of his head, different from usual. He leaned forward and twisted around, but it was too dark to see. He ran the fingers of his left hand down the stone. They were damp. He tasted it in case it was his blood, but it was water. Feeling a rising panic that was never far away, he placed the flat of his hand along the wall as far as he could go. There were places where water was running down over the surface. He called out. Above him, he heard the tugging of the door in its frame. It opened, and a weak light filtered into the room. He waited for the ladder, but it didn't appear. In the gloom, he could see the four stone steps that rose from the floor and abruptly ended, the rest of the flight to the door having crumbled away years ago. Still, he waited for the ladder to be lowered, but nothing came. Silhouetted against the pale glow, his captor stood and stared down at him.
"There's water coming in!"
he shouted up. Without a word, the figure closed the door, and the cellar was plunged into a blacker darkness than before. He screamed once more with fear and frustration, and tugged again at the iron ring. But the metal tie cut into his flesh, and he cried out in pain. With his left hand, he pulled back and forth at the ring set into the wall, but it was solid. He banged again and again on the hard stone with his fist, until it too was bleeding. Touching the wall, he had no idea if it was his blood or the water seeping in that he could feel. He heard another sound, a roaring. The river was growing in anger and coming nearer. Underneath it came a new noise, a sucking. He sat still to listen. His legs were wet. Jumping up to his feet and having to crouch because of his wrist shackled to the wall, he felt the ground beneath him with his fingertips. Water was coming in, bubbling up through the cracks in the stone slabs. Soon the whole floor was covered. His hand, laid flat on the ground, was enveloped, the river rising up his wrist. He screamed and the door opened. Again the figure stood in the gap and stared down.
"Why are you doing this?"
He could hear the panic in his own voice.
"I have no choice."
Monday. Chapter 1.
How does that make you feel?
Elizenda picked the third imagined piece of lint off her jeans in the last 10 minutes. And studied the woman seated in the earnest, straight-backed chair opposite her. Elizenda herself was half lying on a modern recliner, which made her feel mildly discomforted, the static in the seat fabric clinging to the back of her shirt, tugging it out of her waistband. She felt a sheen of sweat in the small of her back, soaking through the thin cotton. She also felt faintly ridiculous. It wasn't solely the fault of the chair.
"Uncomfortable?"
Doctora Puyas leaned forward.
"At being asked how you feel, or at being here?"
Elizenda shook her head irritably, her long hair catching painfully behind her shoulders. "With this bloody chair, it's desperately difficult to sit on. I might consider using it to question suspects."
"Is that how you..."